DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
I'm that sore at the top of the mouth that would heal itself if you would only stop licking it.
Vivid. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
now that we're off to a really weird start.
Yeah, this is awkward. I'm sitting way too damn close to Emilio, too.
It's from Fight Club. I wish I came up with something that
awesome. Oh, is that really from Fight Club?
Yeah, Mara. She's that sore at the top of your mouth. If only you could stop tonguing it.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't really remember.
Somehow I'm thinking of Chad, though. Because you said he has a thing for licking his lips.
Oh, yeah.
When he's gaming.
We're not talking about him.
Sorry.
Especially not entertaining facts about him. Chi. For those new to the podcast, we lost our fourth member. We refer to him as he who should not be named.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we miss you.
Very much.
But we don't. All right.
So no new Patreons this week, but we do want to encourage our listeners to leave us a review on iTunes. It's one of the most helpful things you can do for us if you haven't already. Also, we might be getting into that studio sooner than expected.
I am very excited for this, guys. I am more excited about the fact that we have a designated area where everything is just going to be tricked out DLG. And then also getting into the vodcast and emphasizing our presence on Twitch. So I am super excited. And YouTube. And YouTube. Wow. I already have two part-time jobs. It's going to be my third part-time job.
It's actually back at AM Studios for those longtime listeners. That's AM stands for Almost Mexico because it's in Chula Vista, which is only about 10 minutes away from Mexico.
Otherwise known as Chulawana.
But we're not going back into the same room. See, we were just using a room in a big house that was kind of like this converted room. But now I'm going to be living there. I'm the one paying rent, so I can basically do what I want. So the garage we're going to convert, it's a large garage, and we can basically use it the way we want.
Mm-hmm. So, I love this house, by the way. So
it's a nice
house. Don't knock it down. This is nicer. Like, you could put five of the homes that my house that I grew up in, like, even if you, like, overlapped itself five times over, it's not even as nice as this house that we're about to set up our studio
in. I'm getting it for the same rate that I'm paying for my place now, so. Yeah.
That is a bad deal.
Freaking wicked.
Yeah.
Yep.
Paying that Mexican price.
So help us out on iTunes so we can pay for that studio, guys. And then our shop is up. Right,
yep.
Bobby?
The store is up. If you go to dlgaming.net and click on DLG merchandise on the right, that will take you to our store, which now has six different designs. You can get these designs on anything, even a baby onesie, which doesn't seem appropriate, but I'm not going to tell you how to live your life.
You know what? I am about to raid that shop, buy a couple of onesies, and then also like some clothes for a 13-year-old boy. I think a 10-year-old boy. I think it's very appropriate.
I didn't know this. The only reason I went there is because I was doing giveaways and whatever, and just giving shit away like Santa. But anyway, I went there, and it said Fall Flash 30% off, and I was like, I didn't approve this. You're getting 30% off our shit? I want all my money. But then I was like, wait, I can buy some stuff. So, I bought like $90 worth of stuff, but it came out to $60. I got two coffee mugs. I got a tank top. I got a T-shirt. I got some stickers.
That's wicked.
Yeah, and like one other thing. They got really good stuff on there, so check it out.
I'm definitely going to check it out post-podcast. And do they have stickers small enough to put on my fidget spinner?
No. I don't know if they're that small.
That's a fucking joke. I do not own a fidget spinner, nor would I.
For some reason, when you said fidget spinner, I thought you meant your pop cap or pop. What are those called? Pop sockets.
I'm not sure what they are, but it's like a pop-up.
Yeah, that goes on the back of your phone.
Yeah, a sticker that goes. Sam not loves sticker. Hers. It's an awesome pop device on the back of the cell phone.
That's like a new
I'll take
thing
a picture
now.
Of it, or I'll have you guys take a picture of it, and then I'll repost it on our Instagram, digital_logic with a K.
I use, on the back of my phone, I put a card holder. So it's my wallet as well. That's what I do.
That's what I used to do until I started throwing my phone one too many drunken stupors and would lose things.
And moving on from cheese alcoholic problems.
Let's continue.
All right. Let's talk about some games that are coming up this week. So who wants to go first here?
G?
Sure. Why not? Let's go ahead and take a look at some horror games on my behalf. I am very excited that it is October. Last podcast I said Spooktember. Totally wrong. It's Spooktober. And the one game I was looking at that was a new release, and it's probably really shitty because it's only less than $4, but it's a point-and-click 2D adventure, a very classic appeal to it. It's a horror game with multiple endings, and basically what it is, you get to pick two different people where you basically wake up in a funeral home and you're trying to get out. There's a serial killer on the loose, and he's constantly tracking you down, just like in like Outlast. There's somebody always on your tail. And when you go through this game, apparently, so it's an RPG, and you are trying to keep your sanity while trying to escape, and you're susceptible to different type of psychosis, like things that hinder how you move throughout the game. It's a game with multiple endings, multiple random events, and it's a point-and-click adventure, less than $4, developed by Stay Awake Games. It's a fun game, I imagine, for the Halloween season. And it's worth checking out if it's going to cost you less than $5. So I truly believe I'm going to pick this up just to check it out, maybe give my review on it pretty soon here. Point-and-click adventure doesn't get any easier than that, except it probably is pretty hard, considering there's almost up to 20 different psychoses that can hinder you, such as, you know, dampened field of view, certain, you have an anxiety meter, and then you can die.
Hysteria, pneumonia, or I don't know what that other one was.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a bunch of them.
So
it looks like Ultima Online, if anybody ever played that.
Yeah,
it looks pretty dated.
It is. It does. Even though it is a brand new game, and that's probably why the price point is where it's at. But for all of the new releases that I saw in related to horror games, it's probably the best looking one so far.
Looking as in like overall compass of the game, not the actual.
Not
graphics.
The graphics.
Not the graphics.
Now that Chad's gone, I got to be the graphics Nazi. Looks like poop.
Yeah, obviously.
Nope. Looks like poop.
I mean, for $4, you can't be mad at it. And
$3.19,
it's actually. Sale for $3.19. So.
Yeah, exactly. Who? Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some like top dollar games, shall we?
Yeah, Middle Earth Shadow of War is probably going to be $60 when it comes out, I think, which is in 2 days. Which is probably going to be close to, or the day after this comes out. So this is a sequel to something of Mordor?
Shadow of Mordor.
I played this, the reason I put this on the list, actually the preliminary reviews are already out. I got a 73 so far, which isn't great. But people said it was bloated. But after playing it, at E3, I was pretty stoked about it. The Nemesis systems was already great, and then they made it way better, where like you can take low-level goblin or orcs and actually turn them into your minions and have them spy for you and figure out the weaknesses of other guys, that, so you can exploit that kind of stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the orcs can
They're like pawn scouts, right?
Exactly, yeah. So
pieces you can afford to lose.
You're going up against this great empire, and it's like, how can one man do all this? Well, it would take a lot of subterfuge and stuff like that. What?
It's always one man.
Yeah. How? But if you were going to make it realistic, he would have to conscript some guys and turn them against. So it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Even though it's still fucking impossible.
Well, graphically is extremely powerful looking compared to the game I recommended.
And you're talking a $60 game here, most likely. But when I saw that 73, it really took the wind out of my sails. But I think that's just preliminary. Like, it's not even out yet, right? So most of the other reviewers don't even have a copy yet. So we'll see. And then, I'll probably pick it up anyway.
I wonder what they didn't like about it. The first one rated really well.
I saw bloated.
Just too much content?
This may be too much content. Well, bloated to me is like content without meaning, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But anyway, I'll probably be buying this and I'll get back to you guys.
All right. Well, I'm going to also bring up a sequel, The Evil Within 2. Now, The Evil Within came out, 2014?
You played it all the way through, right,
Somebody recommended I play this game, and I did not look into it at all, so
Well, the first game was very... they advertised it as... a Resident Evil
Resident Evil
game.
Kept coming up because it was by the executive producer of Resident Evil. And this was his, this is his, look what I can do without Capcom.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I had never played a Resident Evil game, except for the bad ones, four or five? So when I played The Evil Within, I was really excited, kind of feeling like this was my first experience into the whole Resident Evil universe or Resident Evil-like. And it didn't get... people didn't like it too much when it came out. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I don't know about the sequel, though. It just looks like more of the same. You know how I feel about sequels, but... I am slightly interested in this.
Well, it's cool because it's horror, but with action adventure elements. And that's one thing that I really like about Resident Evil games. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're playing a through and through great action adventure game, but with well done horror elements to it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of horror games, maybe like the one that I mentioned, has poor mechanics and execution, but focus too much on the horror element to not really have a well-rounded game. I feel like The Evil Within would be the ultimate of well-rounded horror and action RPG.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good scary game that does all of that. It has kind of that creepy horror aspect to it, maybe some jump scares, but also, this was almost like an RPG, too. You had to manage resources. You had to level up your character. It had some action parts. It had some stealth parts. Like, there was just so much to the original Evil Within. I think people were really upset with it because it was one of those games that came out and you could only play it at 30 FPS.
Yeah, it got a little bit of hate. I remember that it was locked in, right?
Yeah.
It also came out on console, too, correct?
Well, that's why it was locked in at 30 frames because it was, primarily made for consoles.
Okay, makes sense.
Yep. All right, so anyone changing their mind about their game that they brought up?
Definitely not.
I might check out The Evil Within, maybe the first one, if you own that game,
Bobby.
Yeah,
play it off of Bobby's account.
We're officially on Family Share once more.
Good. I'm on your Family Share. I don't know if you're on mine. We might have to reset.
We can set it up.
Yeah, let me know. We'll do Team Viewer, and I'll get that set up.
Okay.
But yeah, you should definitely check that one out. I enjoyed it. A few other games I want to mention that have come out recently. Road Redemption has finally had an official release. Now, this was in early access. I played it years ago in early access. If you don't know what Road Redemption is, it's basically Road Rash. Remember that old Sega Genesis game where you're not only racing on motorcycles, but beating the shit out of each other with clubs and sticks? Well,
You were stoked on it. Like, you really liked it.
It was a great game, but, it was kind of...
No, I mean, you liked the rehash, I believe.
Yeah. Road Redemption was great.
You're like, this is exactly...
It felt exactly like Road Rash.
This is hilarious because this is the type of game that emphasizes on what I was complaining about our last podcast, saying if it's involving any level of maneuvering a vehicle... will not like this game.
It's so weird, too.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just for me, I will basically say, pull out my female card, my girly card. Yeah. I can't play racing games exceedingly well. But even outside of Mario Kart, right?
Terrible joke that could be made here.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, you are an Asian woman.
Oh,
I just lay him up.
Oh my God, that even flew over my head initially. I'm like, what?
Why is player three just hitting the wall over and over and over?
Yeah, it's very true. I fit all my stereotypes as an Asian woman.
Racing games are difficult on PC, first of all, because there's no, you know, keyboards and mice are very binary. They're off or on. There's no like analog stick where you can ease into something. So it is hard to play a racing game on the PC. But this one's fun because it's not just racing. It's also attacking other people. And it's, I don't know if you guys played the original Road Rash, but I had it on the Game Gear, which was a handheld console, and I played it so much. But after, I don't know, I think I played this for like a few hours and then just got bored of it. So I'm kind of interested to see if they've made a lot of changes. I mean, the last time I played it was, what, November 2014?
It's super fun when, you know, you get something early access and you say, oh, I'll check this in, check up with this in a while and see how it goes. And they really have made huge strides since the last time you played. You're like, oh, and you already liked it the first time and now it's way better. That's always great. Sometimes it happens where you do it both times and you're like, this is the exact same game, it's still garbage.
Yeah. Well, when I played it first, I think what I remember thinking was this needs more maps. Like it just needs more content to it.
It looks like they were showing off this rooftop thing. Did it have that?
Yeah, it had that. And that's a great part of it.
So what's cool about this, it's definitely an online multiplayer game, and there's up to 4-player co-op split screen. How large are these races from what you can recall?
They're pretty long. I mean, you do a couple laps.
Good graphics.
Yeah, graphics are good. I mean, yeah.
Okay. What's a hat in time, Bobby?
A Hat in Time is a new game that, I don't know, I saw it on PC Gamer's website and I checked out the Steam page and it looked pretty good, but it's just a 3D platformer adventure game, kind of kiddie looking, you know, kind of Legend of Zelda-ish, you know, not, it's got kind of a, almost an anime art style to it, but it apparently is really good. Like people have been praising it.
Overwhelmingly positive 500 reviews.
Yeah, 500 reviews isn't a whole lot, but yeah, it's still overwhelmingly positive, and all the official reviews I've seen of it have been really good.
Hey, Bobby, is that when overwhelmingly positive is unlocked? It must be 500, I bet.
This game is way too cute. It reminds me of the good old Nintendo 64 days, 3D platforming. Yeah, very much Zelda-esque, but with a brand new character. This is a female protagonist, obviously with a very fancy hat, and she's being chased down.
It's a magic hat, yeah.
Yeah, she's being chased down by who knows what.
You guys are saying Zelda, but I'm seeing Mario 64 here.
Super Mario 64. Yeah. I am seeing that more. Yeah. Yes, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me
of... It is very much more Mario 64.
Yeah.
You're running around a platforming game and picking up certain globs of who knows what. And, that's Super Mario 64. My bad. That's not Zelda at all.
Looks like a good platformer, like 3D platformer.
Yeah. It's, let's see, how much is it? $30. I don't think I'm going to buy it for that, but I'll throw it on the wish list and...
See if somebody buys it for him. Can't hint, nudge, nudge. Need I say more? I will see listeners. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to some games that we have been playing here.
Dude, I feel like the rest of the podcast is getting bigger and bigger, and the highlights and lowlights are getting like smaller and smaller, which is not good or bad. It's just a thing.
It's just trends.
We have three people now instead of
trends
two.
Fluctuate. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's not being like overrun with... cell phone games and whatnot now. So that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Bobby, let me lead off just because I don't want to forget about the other game that I played because it's not on the list. Last week I had Battle Chasers Night War on my thing. So I ended up buying it. And I only played it like 15 minutes. So because it was like right before this podcast,
dude, really? You're going to give a review on something that you put 15 minutes in?
It's a first impression.
Yeah, fresh impressions. I was going to say preliminary, but I've been drinking too much.
I want to play this game now that I know you only have 15 minutes into it. And then next week, we're going to have our mommy and daddy argument on what the game is.
No, because Divinity.
Oh, you're going to be playing Divinity?
No, you are.
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You? Did you play this week? I feel like you didn't play any video games this week.
I know I've been working a lot, but tonight... Oh, no, I played a shit ton of Cuphead and got nowhere. Right. Let's not talk about it yet.
Okay, I will.
Let's not talk about that yet.
So I talked about it last week. I'm not going to rehash all that stuff. What I found really funny was there is comic book sections, which you would imagine because it's a comic book. And so it tells its story in very comic book fashion, and the art isn't that great. And I was looking at it, and I was like, Wow.
It's not that great. What are you talking about? It looks fantastic.
No, not this. The comic book parts, which are like, you know, hand-drawn in, mm-hmm. in panels, just like comic books.
And so no animation, just still frames.
Just still frames, yeah. With voice acting, which is fine. The whole thing's over the top, and everything's like, this is all like 15-year-old boy fantasy type stuff.
It's like everybody's on Super Saiyan 5.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. It's all right. Way over the top, which is cool. You know, I was young when this came out. But anyway, but then I was kind of underwhelmed with that art because it's hand-drawn. You would think this is where it shines, but then the actual game starts. Holy shit, are the graphics great. This is like, last week when somebody talked about hand-drawn painted stuff, all the backgrounds are hand-drawn painted, but then the foreground is the 3D. It's like a 2.5D. Mm-hmm. The characters are so rich, and they have a ton of depth. Graphically, it's fucking amazing. Besides that, it's very Final Fantasy. Just walking around the map, you know, three guys on one side, the enemies on the other. I only leveled up once. It doesn't let you select what you're going to unlock. It just auto-unlocks the next stuff.
Do you get to rename any of the characters,
no.
or is the story too set?
Yeah, the story is super set.
Okay.
Because there's only like 5 or 6 characters.
Okay.
So, yeah. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful game, and I will be playing it more.
Exciting, and I will be getting on a family share so I can try out this game too. It looks fun, and it's strictly single player.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, single player.
$29.99.
Yep, I had $60 in credit from Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. So.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh wait, when you return a game on Steam, they give you store credit? They don't give you a full refund?
You have your choice.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to spend it anyway, so might as well.
They should like give you more for the store credit, like Amazon does.
But then no, because then you would just record.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
maybe give you 2 returns per year. Oh, we're all, hey, we're Gaben over here.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk about the big one.
The weird one?
The big one?
Oh, the big one. Yeah, Battlefront 2. This is all very confusing. Battlefront 2, which I've been calling BF2, not even thinking that that interferes with Battlefield. But yeah, Battlefront 2, the open beta happened this weekend, and I got a chance to play a decent amount of it. My general thoughts on this is it feels exactly like the first one to me. The graphics look absolutely amazing. They're still doing the card system for upgrades, which you either have to grind for or you can pay money and get a bunch of loot boxes. And they only have the one map. I've found the Naboo
Palace.
That's
actually not true. So
no, there's more than one? Yeah, well, there's the Starfighter one.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't like you can select or even random. Yesterday was the Naboo one, and today was the Starfighter one. I played
the Starfighter one and the Naboo Palace one on the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, when I was playing today, I only had the one option for the Starfighter one. So I don't.
Oh, that's weird.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. I don't know. I don't know how it worked out. Anyway, it's over now, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, for someone who's never played Battlefront 2, honestly, the only Star Wars game I really played, maybe two of them, like KOTOR and the online one, I believe. But for Battlefront 2, how
the MMO?
Yes.
Okay.
The very first one. And so Battlefront 2, from what I understand, it's a Star Wars meets Battlefield. So these maps should be massive, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think you have 40 people.
What differences would you... Because Battlefield is a game that I have some experience in versus Battlefront, which I've never picked up and played. What are the major differences, especially saying that it's just like the first one? What are the major differences when it comes to a FPS versus
the
map?
For me, the biggest difference, and this is the biggest problem I've had, and this is the huge problem that I had with the first game, but I feel like it's less of a problem here. The guns aren't as fun to shoot. Not even close.
Because they're all lasers?
They're all lasers. There's no recoil.
And there is recoil.
On some of them.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's sprays, recoils, but not nearly as much as like Battlefield 4.
Well, maybe it's just so futuristic.
No,
it's so futuristic. You're shooting lasers here. Do you actually think there's realistically recoil on a laser
gun? No, I'm not saying that they should be. I'm just saying that it makes the guns way less fun to shoot. Well, for me.
I would think so, too. For me, it would.
And then shooting people don't... Okay, so say you're playing PUBG and you get hit. if I didn't expect the shot, I'm startled and I jump a lot of the times in PUBG because they did such a good job of making you feel that bullet. Like I have a physical response when I get shot for the first time in PUBG. And this, you get shot and you're just like, oh, let me get behind this rock because I need to heal up some more. You know, it's like, I'm taking damage. Let me avoid damage.
Well, I think the overall complaint with the first Battlefront was it was a simplified version of Battlefield. And a lot of older people who have played a lot of first-person shooters lost interest very quickly in it. And I think it's going to be the same issue with the sequel here. That was my big question going into this. Did they address any of the concerns that people had about the first one? And the answer so far seems to be no. Now, that's not to say it's not a good game. Like, it's fun. I mean, you go in there and you feel like you're in Star Wars. The graphics are so... These are probably the best graphics I've ever seen in my entire life. I was playing, and one of the characters you can get is Boba Fett. You know, you can pay, like, a certain amount of credits and you can get an upgraded character.
Everybody wants to be Boba
you
Fett.
Earn game...
Like, what little boy doesn't want to be Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you earn game credits and then you can spend them in-game. It's not like the old one where you just run up to a spaceship
and get a power up icon. Yeah. You have to like get kills, get points, spend those points to get better characters. And there's a bunch of different ones you can get, even vehicles and shit. But I saw Boba Fett running by me and I'm like, that looks like a real person. Like that looks like the movie. It was so realistic.
Dude, Darth Maul came up on us and probably killed 8 or 9 of us in 2 seconds. And I'm like, and I'm laying on the ground there looking up at him killing the rest of my buddies. And I'm like, that's pretty much what Darth Maul would do. Like, yeah. That's exactly what he would do, too.
Yeah, they nailed the Star Wars universe, like the feeling of it. And I applaud them for that, but this is still a game I don't really see myself playing all that much.
Well, here's the difference, Bobby. You said it's fun. And I really genuinely feel like the first game was not fun. I feel like they found something here. I don't know what it is, but... The feeling is I'm way more. I'm leaning into this game. Still, I don't like the shooting as much as like a traditional projectile game.
Yeah.
But I mean, all the stuff, the grandeur, the epicness of what's going on, you get wrapped up in it. I don't know how fast that's going to fade.
They have objective-based maps, too, and we should mention that. So it took me a while to figure out what I was supposed to be doing on my team. Like, the one in Naboo was they had these big vehicles moving along, and the other team was trying to disable them with an ion cannon, and once they did, then they could all fire on it and destroy it. Now, you on, the clone troopers, like, you got to protect this. So if you protect it all the way to the building, then you take the battle inside the building. So I kind of like that. I thought that was cool. But the thing to me is the beta is such a different experience than the actual game. Because right now, everyone's on an even playing field. We experienced this with Loadout. Like, everybody was on an even playing field when the game first came out. And then some people go straight pay to win. They drop $200 on the game. They get all these upgrades. Other people just grind it out and they get all these upgrades. And next thing you know, you're going to the game, you're just getting mowed down by machine guns, and you see the person who killed you and they got like all these cards and all these new weapons that you don't
have.
That's
always frustrating.
And I feel like so the lowest level guy, who's that, the commander or whatever, he's just got that
the officer
shooter.
Yeah, but he can lay a turret down.
But I feel like that even with that gun, you can kill anybody in the game with 4 shots.
Yeah, you can. But you know? You are at a disadvantage if you come into the game and other people have already got
better
weapons.
I don't think that it's ever overwhelmingly. Like, there's never where you're like, I don't think it's pay to win. I think it's pay for advantage.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously. You get a huge advantage if you do. And, like, it's not pay to win, like, but it does encourage people like, hey, you've either got to play this game a lot or you got to spend some money if you want to get anywhere. The problem, though, is, and I don't have a solution for this, by the way, but I'm just throwing out the problem. The problem is you can't just make an even playing field type of game. We've had a million of those. That's what all the shooters were in the 90s. And if you do that, then people just get bored after an hour. They're like, why do I want to keep playing?
There's no progression.
Yeah. Unless you're Counter-Strike.
Yeah, Counter-Strike, that is an exception.
One thing I love about Counter-Strike, and when it comes to the even playing field, of course it's not pay for Advantage or anything, everyone starts out on a clean slate. And I wish we saw more FPSs that kind of follow suit. I mean, Call of Duty kind of does it too. Mm-hmm. It's where your performance is rewarded. Through Counter-Strike, you get additional income. And then through Call of Duty, through performance, you get additional, what are those call-in things where you could send
airstrikes
and whatnot. So
that's
it's through performance you're rewarded, whereas in Battlefront, you start out with an advantage from what I'm understanding.
Well, you get a loadout. And it's one of the, I think they're trying to do this thing where it's kind of like TF2, where you can upgrade your weapon, but it doesn't particularly mean that it's an upgrade. It's just a different weapon. But
well, TF2 balanced it. It upgraded one thing, but downgraded another.
Yeah, downgraded something else.
It was a trade-off.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that the second sniper rifle is better in every single way than the first sniper rifle.
Dude, I think the second sniper rifle is like overpowered. No, from what I was hearing, I was playing with David is winning. I don't know if he still listens, but shout out if you are. I was playing with him, and he got that, and he's like, oh, yeah, all right, this is what everyone's doing. This is what you got to get. But
it's like finding the meta that works.
Yeah, but you know what?
And finding it first.
But, Chi, just like you were talking about those air raids or air call-ins,
Yes. That's
exactly how this works.
You do
well, you get points. You can the next time you spawn, you can come in as Chewbacca and, like, he's way more powerful than a regular dude. Or you could save up.
You
got to
grind
more
up a bit, though. Like,
yeah,
you played a few games before you get Chewbacca. He's like 3,000 credits.
Yeah.
And I think I played like five games and got around 1,000 or 1,200.
No. So you lose all your points, Bobby, in between games. You got to start again.
Oh, it's each game they
it's
reset.
Each game.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I feel like I should have more points than this.
No, you should have been killing people
but,
and doing
here's
better.
My big question, though. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember Star Wars 1313. Does that ring a bell to anyone here?
No.
Not at all, sir.
This is a game that was in development and was super hyped, and then they stopped making it. I can't remember why. But it was a single-player game. It was kind of like Force Unleashed. Is
it was
what
the StarCraft
it like.
Ghost
but
of Star Wars?
No, it was like, I don't know what it... It was like a first-person shooter, but maybe it was like third-person. Star Wars 1313. I'll show you a trailer later.
Besides that, I did see it. I saw some cover-based shooting in that. Anyway, did you ever play Unleashed, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I played both of them. And beat both of them.
Were they good? Damn.
The second one was really, really short, but they made some really big improvements. When the first one came out, it was a big deal. I remember thinking, like, this is a really good game. But they have not had, like, a single-player Star Wars game in a while. Like, a big single-player, like, story-driven narrative.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're long overdue, and we've got these amazing graphics on this Star Wars game. I mean, they could make such a good game. They could make like a Tomb Raider-like game.
Well, that's what's coming out, right?
What?
I mean, this Battlefield is going to have a single-player component.
Oh, it does have a single? Oh,
yeah,
that's right. It's got the chick
it's
and everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay, the Battlefront.
It's a strong female protagonist, not a chick, Bobby. Jesus Christ.
Did you just say chick? Did you throw the chick word?
Right before this podcast, we had sensitivity training.
And no, it's okay. I called Bobby sir, which was a little weird. I should have said
can't
senpai.
I'm kind of embarrassed. I forgot about all
word.
That. Not the sensitivity training, but the fact that there is a single player, because they've been really hyping that up. And when the beta came out, and obviously it's multiplayer only, but I don't know. I guess I just totally spaced on
maybe that. Battlefront is trying to take over what Halo was now. Especially since they're implementing already a strong multiplayer and now a single player.
It's definitely its own thing.
But you know the single player is going to be like 6 hours long, and it's going to be like a Call of Duty single player. It's just kind of a Battlefield single player. It's just
maybe
like
not,
there
dude,
for
they
them.
Have so much money.
Maybe.
But can you really be
so
mad at it? Because it's obviously a formula that has worked for console games for a long time. The longevity of this formula has lasted maybe at least a decade, especially with the Call of Duty series. Mm. So Battlefront, they're now just implementing the formula, but with amazing top-notch graphics and already a very strong backstory in terms of like the lore that is Star Wars.
It's a huge IP.
Yeah.
Bobby, would you think of the Star... Did you play the flying around part? The Star...
Starfighter? Yeah.
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 What'd you think of that?
I felt like it was easier than the first Battlefront.
Yes. The flying, right?
Yeah, the flying felt like I had a little more control. Like,
yes.
I thought it was just so bad in the first one that I thought I was messing something up. Like, I wasn't doing something right or my controls weren't set right. Like, it seems so weird that it would be hard for me to control a starship.
That's how I feel with any vehicle game or any vehicle in any game.
Gee, Asian, female. I mean,
What did you learn today from sensitivity training?
You get an F. I found out my nipples were sensitive.
Yeah, Emilio gets an F for fuck it. Did not work out.
But again, I have dog. When it comes to dog fighting, any game ever, never done well. Never understood what I'm supposed to be doing. Within 10, 15 minutes, I started getting it down. I'm like, okay, these are objectives. I'm having more and more fun. I don't know. You know, I'm Mr. Hype Train over here, so I really hope that they're going to get it done. Like I said, this game's fun. The last one, I never said the last one was fun. I actually said, I can't get this game to be fun. I keep trying and I can't. Mm. And this one is already fun. So at least they have that part. Now, if you add fun with amazing graphics, you might have a blockbuster here. We'll see.
I don't know. I wish I could just get the single player side of this. That's all I'm interested in.
It might be like, it might be to the point where it's console gaming fun. Like maximize at what a console game can provide.
Because it's so much less tactical than like,
yeah.
Oh man, it's
and that
really
doesn't bode well for the single.
You
player
can't duck,
either.
Right?
Simply,
you
comma, can roll. Simplified.
No, I think you can duck. You can duck, and there's a roll.
I know you could duck. The roll you have to equip as a card, I believe. Right?
Nope. That's default. You can roll.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
You can't fire while you roll, though.
That's how Bobby rolls.
Yeah. Little clarification here. Atrocious says Star Wars 13-13 was canceled in April 2013. The development arm of LucasArts division was closed down and most of the staff was laid off. Huh. Okay. Then there you go. Too bad.
Bobby, it's getting a little sexy in here. Is there any way we can get some light?
The number 13 is already a bad omen. You double down on that.
Yeah, you call your game 13-13. I mean, in 2013. You're kind of asking for it.
Oh, triple down. I didn't even catch that. Damn.
You know, so I work in buildings a lot, and I have a contractor with a couple of buildings, and both of these buildings don't have the level 13. Does this one have it, Bobby?
This one does, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's pretty common to not have a level 13.
It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, because, I mean, the people on... Let's face it, dude. The people on 14, they don't know what floor they're really on.
You son of a bitch, Fastidious.
Fastidious,
he said a Mexican
welcome.
That works in buildings a lot. Let's talk about it, son of
a
bitch.
Let's not talk about Fortnite, which is a game that we're not playing at all, which I'm pretty sure we should be playing.
They're up
There's
to,
a lot of news going
well, the Battle Royale
around
thing
this game.
It's up to 7 million players. But I think because it's free, but I don't know.
Wait, the Battle Royale part of Fortnite
it's up
is?
To 7 million players, which is... gigantic.
Yeah. Well, to be continued upon next week.
Yeah, once that thing goes free to play, I'm all over it.
Well, it's funny because even with the price of free, it still doesn't convince me to install and play the game. So let's see if it happens this week. 7 more days.
But like you said, you haven't been at your PC a lot.
Yeah, I know. My supposed PC, which is a great segue for what we're going to talk to you next. I have my computer set up to my big screen TV in my living room, which is also my bedroom and my kitchen and almost my bathroom. There's actually a door there. I live in a tiny little studio and I've had my computer set up with my TV to play Divinity and now Cuphead. So Cuphead, I've been streaming this week. By the way, guys, I am back to streaming. You'll catch me 2 to 3 times a week, Wednesdays, Thursdays, definitively, and then potentially Sunday nights. But the thing about Cuphead is I've been playing it a lot, but not getting anywhere. I really suck. And
how about you play on simple then? Have you tried it on simple?
No, you think I'm a simple bee?
What if you're not getting anywhere?
Okay, the simple bee would be worse than being a basic bee. I have to play at the same... Come on, I'm actually decent at Dota, but at Cuphead, the Mini Del Mancha said it the perfect way. I dropped by one of his streams, and he said she plays Cuphead like she's never played a video game before.
She does.
I can't get anywhere with this game, especially when I'm drinking a bottle of wine.
I promise I'm not making fun of you. You're better at me than video games. I was watching you play Cuphead, and I was like, what? Where's Chi?
Okay. I know. Here's the thing. It's
I know
not
you were
mouse
drinking.
And keyboard.
You were drinking.
Yeah, it's not mouse and keyboard. And on top of that, I think I was playing with default controls. And my best recommendation.
I beat the game.
What? You beat the game
controls.
With...
I just did it today. By the way, guys, I beat Cuphead. It was super easy, and here we go.
And I've known people who beat it twice, and then even people who beat it on expert. And I'm just like, fuck off. This game, we all can go at it at our own pace. I love this game. It's great. Everything we said about it last week, it definitely comes to life when you play it. But the thing is, it is extremely frustrating. And a lady like me with very little patience, if you didn't know, I'm a Scorpio and born the year of the dragon. So I'm essentially a very fiery personality.
A dragon scorpion.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I have no patience. And Cuphead tests my patience.
You need patience.
Yeah. Cuphead
you
tests my
patience. You need either
patience
or mad degree. Skills. And I think I only beat it because of patience.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just sit there and just keep going. Mm-hmm. I don't get frustrated.
No.
That much. Unless I feel something happened that was cheap, that's when I get frustrated.
Good thing I can cuss, because without profanity, this game is impossible. Without profanity, this game is impossible. Just saying. Bobby, you tell me about your Cuphead experience.
I don't see myself getting much further in Cuphead. I'm just not good at these types of games.
But this is a perfect game to get good at controllers, I feel.
It does.
No, fuck controllers. Okay, I will say it right here and now, because it is a PC gaming podcast. But I am using my controller, and I'm like, the fuck did I just do? I don't know. My power-up just went into the corner of the screen.
Do you guys use a D-pad, or do you use the analog stick?
No, I don't use the D-pad. That's my problem. I hate the joystick. And You could play this game with mouse and keyboard, but my computer is set up, and I've been complaining back to, like, you know, beginning to end about how my computer is basically a console right now being hooked up to the TV. And I really, really wish I was better with controllers. I'm on Bobby's level with this, and I can't get anywhere with this game. I will eventually hopefully beat it, but through a mountain of rage will I be able to accomplish it.
These days. So how long is it? This is really weird to time a game like this to say, like,
yes,
you know, to look it on how long, look it up on how long to beat, because that entirely depends on your skill level.
Yeah. So, and not just that. And also patience.
Yeah.
Your patience level.
Yeah, you got to have the stick to
temperament. Like Admiral Beef, he's like, I'm going to go home and buy this right now. And he got super frustrated and didn't play it. And he's like, I should have just watched you on stream. Because it's beautiful, but I just can't do it.
Well, I know Mini Del Macho beat it in 6 hours. How long did it take you to beat it?
I don't know.
Switch over to the simple life?
Huh?
You didn't. No. Admiral Beef didn't switch over to the simple life.
No, he did.
That's
on simple.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's a shame. It really is, because it's such a beautiful game, and it's got such a cool art style that I really wish I could play this on a more casual level.
No, you just got
to
rage.
But you won't go down to simple, Bobby?
You just.
No, I mean, I don't mind.
Bobby,
doing
do
that,
you rage? Bobby, do you rage?
I don't think I do, but I think some other people would say otherwise.
Well, he rages at hots.
I think he. Okay, me. I feel like I would be a very verbal rager already. You guys should know this about me, but I feel like Bobby would be the silent type, but deadly. Yeah. Like, he'll just set down the controller, shake his head at it, and just walk away,
and then break a window.
Oh my gosh! What about you, Emilio?
What?
Like, I feel like you would rage very subtly, but it wouldn't be...
Never rage.
Never rage?
Yeah. Snarky remarks is about as ragey as I get.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll call people out on stuff, but try to make it a joke. But that's pretty much it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This game has me throwing controllers and
my beatings. You have to learn every boss.
I'm quoting myself when I was talking about this game. I was like, this game is harder than Dark Souls, and I hate it, but I love it, but I hate it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. If nothing else sums up this game, it's a great game. It's a 10 out of 10.
You know what? That is so... Wait. Somebody's pointing out a really good point in Discord right now. Bobby's very low-end raging is perfect for hots. My high-intensity toxicity, like toxic raging, is perfect for Dota. And then Emilio's... What would you call it? It's not even rage. You said you just... play it off.
Yeah.
It's perfect for Smite. So it's funny how our rage personalities fit our MOBA preferences. That's so funny.
I like it. All right, what else we got, Bobby?
Let's see. We had Stickman, Stick Figure.
Sorry, gotta go. Chi, did you pass the first level?
Yes, I did. I passed at least three levels.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
While I was watching, you were on one level for like a really long time.
Yeah, I know. Same bottle of wine too. So,
all right, Stick Fight the Game.
I saw this. So it's stick figures. You know that stick figure that you saw all over every Flash game ever.
Newgrounds, baby. Newgrounds.
Exactly. Yeah. All fighting and playing a what do you call it? King of the Hill type game where you're knocking each other off like Smash Brothers. So I saw the video and I was like, oh, this is awesome. But here's the problem. This is going to be the third or fourth Smash Brothers King of the Hill type game that I've bought. And then nobody ever wants to play with me because nobody ever comes over. So, but this one had online co-ops or online versus. So I'm like, perfect. This is exactly what I needed. Unfortunately, the netcode is fucking poop. People seem to like this game, but in my experience, the host of the game has so much advantage because he doesn't have any latency, and everybody else is, you know, you're getting freezes and frame drops and all this stuff because of lag. So I can't recommend it, and I will be getting a refund on this game.
You're getting a refund for $4.99. For $5, dude?
What else would I do with it? I'm never going to play it again. Why would I not refund
Maybe
it?
Maybe local co-op.
Oh, by the way, Bobby, I've heard you say more than once that you can pass your game library on to your kids. Apparently, you can't.
Wait, when did I ever say that?
What are you
you're
talking
like,
about?
You're
just,
like, I'd be
just
like,
put your username and password children. In the will. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Wait, what? I honestly don't ever remember saying that.
Yeah, you're like, dude, this is like a lot of games, and I can like pass this on to my kids.
I don't think I've ever once said that in my
100%
to my kids. I'm not having any kids.
No, I know. But you were like defending buying all these games because I was like, why do you buy so many games that you're not going to play? And you're like, dude, this is something. Maybe you were trying to be funny.
I'm a digital hoarder.
Which was a swing and a miss. But anyway, I saw an article that you can't. So once you die.
Yes, you can.
No, once you die. That's
username and password. It's saying your will only has to be two lines.
I mean, technically,
username,
you can give your game
password,
to like
and then boom, you can access a bank account. You can access a Steam account.
I probably
shouldn't
admit to it, but I've sold a Steam account on eBay before.
Whoa!
I mean, this is many years ago. What's the limitations on that?
How big is the badge?
No, this was like back before there was like a billion games on Steam, and I had like a copy of the Orange Box on it, and maybe like a few other games that were half decent. This is back when there was like maybe 500-600 games.
Okay,
like almost
you
10
can
years ago.
Do it, but
well, you know
legally
what?
You can't leave your Steam library to somebody in your will.
You know what? Legally, I have to complain about something too. I have to complain about something too, and if Chad were here, he would freak the fuck out. But I've been VAC-banned before. And that's
really?
The thing, not me, myself personally. I'm just one of those girls that gives it all the way. I had a second Steam account that I gave away the username and password for friends to do fuckery with. And apparently, the second Steam account that I gave away, I think they were obsessed with, I don't know what games, but they got my second account VAC-banned. I was like, fuck that noise. I don't even want my account back anymore. Thanks, guys. Fuck you. I don't even remember their usernames for crying out loud. But obviously, it's not a big deal. Well, it was my second account.
Oh, I see.
And so it was at the most the value of
Why would you ever have a second account?
Of Counter-Strike. I would have Counter-Strike lands, and my best friends would be on my second account. Even online friends.
They wouldn't even buy their own?
Yeah,
no. And then, Bobby, why did you have a second account?
I used to have... So this is weird. I got a picture of it somewhere, but a long time ago, I used to have three computers in my room. I had a mini LAN center in my room. And
it's not weird. I had two.
Oddly enough, I feel like on my Tinder profile, that would be like looking for man robot with three computers in his bedroom.
I think she just flirted with you, but I'm not sure.
No, it's just like one of those things. Must have Steam level of over 500. No, I'm just kidding.
But this is back before Steam was even that big. So I would buy multiple copies, hard copies of games, of like Battlefield 1941, of all these games, and I would install them from a CD onto each of these computers. And friends would come over, and like three of us would just be sitting there in my room, in my apartment, just like playing video games.
Good old
LAN
days, I'm telling you. Yeah. And that's the thing. This was before computers were actually mainstream, and everyone had computers, where most people didn't have. It was like a 50-50 chance if somebody had a home computer. And I feel like a lot of people didn't have the resources. So the people who were into it had to supply the resources for people who just didn't have it. At least back in my day, I knew, especially when I was there when Counter-Strike had transitioned over to Steam, and not everyone had their own copy of Counter-Strike or an official key to a game, and you just had to supply it for your friends if you wanted to play with friends. And back in the day, online friends weren't a thing unless you were in a chat lobby and ASLing everyone. But so you had to convince your real life friends, and you had to, Bobby did it, you had to supply the resources so you could have friends to play with. Yep. At least when it comes to computer gaming. And it's same thing with console gaming. And Amelia poured a really stiff drink for me, so sorry, guys.
And then you poured yourself a second one, by the way. Don't blame me. I am a pusher.
And continue on, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to listen to myself and hate myself. So you guys carry out from here.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up all the games we've been playing this week. It doesn't feel like a lot, but I'm hoping to get a little more variety in next week. I install games like I'm going to play them, and then I never do. But Rise of the Tomb Raider, I
should we mention the game that we installed and played right before the podcast?
Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania.
We don't
Mania.
Really have anything to say on it yet, but
we don't have anything to say. But thank you so much to Shadow Master. He bought me a early birthday present for Sonic Mania, and Bobby and I got to play the first stage, and Bobby got to experience Knuckles. In a short summary or a preliminary review, Emilio review of the game, it's like every other Sonic game, purely classic.
Yes, I guess. It looks like a Sega Genesis game.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a good
game.
Yeah,
we were a little surprised when we went to install it and it was only 350 megs.
I don't have the Sega. I was a Nintendo fanboy, so like...
Yeah, I had all Nintendo, but I had a friend who had Sega, and there were some great... Like, if you didn't have
Sega,
you missed
amazing.
Out. Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yeah. I played the Beavis.
And don't get this wrong, Shadow. We don't have anything to report because we didn't play it enough to be able to speak on it.
Yeah, so more of a full review.
We're going to try not to be like Battle Chase's Night War with Emilio.
the classic DLG 15-minute review.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I guess let's get into some news. All right. I got a few things up here. So finally, Discord now has video chat. So you can do this just like you would a private message with up to 10 people. I have not used it yet. I don't know if you guys have had any experience with it, but it looks like, I don't know. Have you guys used it at all?
Probably.
Well, I never used it for Skype. What do you need video chat for, really, except for like, I guess an interview and...
Well, when you are gaming with people you love, you want to see their face.
No, you but don't. You don't want to see their gamer face.
You can't game and look
are
at somebody's
serious?
Face.
That fucking glazed look over in their eyes
okay,
while staring at the computer
your
screen.
Game and their face.
You have been doing it all wrong then because
I don't want to look at people while they're playing games.
I feel bad because we're releasing this as a news piece and I have yet to experience it myself. So I will try it out. I have gamer friends that I absolutely adore their gamer faces. Or I really don't give a fuck about their gamer faces, but it's worth seeing their faces when they're just like chuckling or when they're laughing, which is why everyone should anticipate our vodcast to be coming in a couple of months here too.
Yeah. So this isn't a broadcast type thing though. This isn't something you can go on Discord and you can put your video out there and it's like Twitch. Anybody can tune in. Like it's a private message type thing only between
like
up to 10 people.
But yeah, does it overlay on video games? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know if it does, but they do have a screen sharing feature in this as well. So you can share your screen with somebody. They can see what's on your screen. I don't know if it's like games as well, probably, I'd assume. And then you could see their picture up in the corner. So, I mean, that could be cool and helpful. I mean, that stuff is always useful.
I don't see an application for this yet.
Well, a lot of times when people do podcasts online and they have like a guest remotely, then they use Skype for that. So I'm wondering if maybe Discord can eventually replace that because I have cut Skype out of my life. I haven't used Skype in years.
Well, I understand how you guys don't get it, but I get it. I mean, I've gotten a high position job through Skype, and then I used to be on Skype 24/7. Not when I'm sleeping. I'm sorry. 12/7. And it was just one of those things where I just have to see how Discord does it. I just have to see how Discord does it. Because I stopped doing it since I started streaming. But I have to see if Discord does it well.
Yeah, I want to test out all the features of it.
It's 4 a.m. Let's check on Cheese Life. Well, at least she's on Skype.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that AOL IM finally shut down?
Yeah.
After 20 years?
I saw End of an Era was the article title that
damn,
I saw.
Damn, dude.
Wait, AIM
is
laid over?
I got laid from IIM 2-3 times probably.
Really?
I was just trolling bitches.
What was your ASL back in that day?
Cyber Grifter 99 or something like that.
Well, ASL is age, sex, location.
Oh, no. Oh, then. I was just thinking about my
your tag, your handle.
Yeah.
Tag.
Yeah. Cyber Grifter. So stupid.
Yeah. Cyber Grifter. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably like 20. I don't know. What is it? Age 20? No, 18. 16? I don't know.
See, my problem is when AIM and chat lobbies, like Yahoo chat lobbies, were the thing, I was a 13-year-old girl. And I was just...
Pouring it up.
No, I've had some dick shots sent to me. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with this dick pic?
So weird.
No, it's horrible.
What
it's horrible.
It's
like,
know.
Let me send you a photo of myself. I'm a 16-year-old boy. And then I get a fucking flash of a hairy dick. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's not fun. So fuck you, AIM. I'm done with you.
Has that stopped to this day? Like,
huh?
Have you stopped getting dick pics?
I don't know. It's like, I don't check my Snapchats anymore, if that's what you mean.
So many dick pics, right?
Yeah. Forget AIM when everyone's dick flashing on Snapchat.
We got some people mentioning ICQ in the chat here. Now, that was one that I used a lot. If you go to the 99 cent store out here in Southern California, when they ring things up, it makes the uh-oh sound just like an ICQ. It cracks me up.
The Dollar Tree?
Maybe the Dollar Tree. I don't know.
99 cent
stores. Why are you guys going to 99 cent stores?
You know, the 99 cent store, if you get cheese there, it will not melt in a microwave. It's
that's
a weird phenomenon that I have not.
That's not cheese. That's plastic.
You still eat it?
Wait, no, plastic.
No,
will melt.
I didn't eat it.
What is going on? So why do you know about this?
This is like 15 years ago when I was very young and poor.
Yeah. I shop everywhere.
I used to live down the street from a 99 cent store
in the
ghetto.
Stores that I shop from.
I bought a whole bunch of stuff there.
That's the best store you've
ever
been.
Well, 99 cent bleach seems logical. I don't like going. I don't go out of my way to go to the 99 cent store. But if it's conveniently there and I think I need a bottle of bleach, then I'm going to pick up a 99 cent bottle of bleach, whereas CVS would charge me almost $3 for it.
It's a great place to get candy, by the way.
Candy and stationery. It's very good for stationery.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
All right.
So, enough budgeting and stuff. In recent news, I saw, and I'm like, you guys think that I'm trying to be funny? For the first time, Bobby used an exclamation mark. Like, I have never seen him.
I use exclamation.
No, you don't.
Oh my gosh, I have to.
You know what's funny about this? Go ahead, Chi.
It's so funny because I just literally.
She's holding her pee for this.
No, I'm holding my pee for this. I was halfway down the hall, almost to the bathroom, and then I heard Emilio say, Bobby, use an exclamation point, and I ran back to the mic. And when I saw it too,
Uh huh.
And I thought it was Emilio that was talking. I did not even believe it was
I'm
Bobby.
I'm super excited.
I'm just going to overdo exclamation marks now.
And so what's funny about Bobby saying that he uses them is we have the logs. We can go through all the logs ever. If somebody can find a Bobby using Bobby using an exclamation mark, please, I will give you $5 Steam credit if you can find Bobby using an exclamation mark. Anyway,
sure it's out there.
Do you want to say what you were using it for? And
yeah, I think it's totally appropriate to use an exclamation mark for that. Are we going to announce it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. We are going to BlizzCon this year.
He cannot stop smiling right now. He can't. He can't. He can't hold it in.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, so we're pretty stoked about that. Some more than others. Bobby's like, dude, plan out your itinerary. Make sure you want to know what hall you want to be in at what time. And I'm like, dude, I'm just going to hang with you. There's nothing that.
See, I don't know if you want to do that because I'm going to be doing a lot of Heroes of the Storm stuff, a lot of the tournament stuff.
Then I'm going to be doing a lot of napping. It's cool.
If you look on their website, you can see what is going down when, and you got to like know in advance, like, I want to see this, I want to do that, because if you try to just wing it, then you're going to end up waiting in line the whole time and
just be hanging out with you.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, but I'm really excited.
Invited.
There's like so many things that I want to do. I know I'm not going to have enough time for it all, but I'm just going to be running around like crazy. I'm going to have to slam like 3 energy drinks a day for this thing. It's going to be like, I'm gonna,
up from two a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to knock it up one can a day.
Aren't you immune at this point now?
To energy drinks? Yeah, it's a problem.
Should you rotate perhaps coffee?
No, what's weird is if I have a monster, because I always drink Rockstar, the white ones, the like sugar-free, whatever. If I have a monster, like it hits me harder. Like
the green one though?
No, like a blue one. I can't do the green one.
Yeah.
Or the, or the Rockstars. Yeah, it's like syrup, yeah, and it's way too much. Ephedrine? All right, hook me up, man.
Actually, I'll hook you up, Bobby. I got something for you.
All right. But yeah, so we're going to BlizzCon, Emilio and I, she passed on it, but we are super, super stoked about that. The plan is I want to bring some equipment and just take some footage and kind of just do a, like a vlog type thing. I want to do that, but then like inside, I'm just like, that's so fucking lame. Like really, you 34 year old man, you're going to do a vlog. Like, I don't know.
Bobby, I'm
not 40. Lame at all.
I'm 40 and I'm super excited about the vlog.
All right.
I just found out I was 40.
You might have to install Snapchat for me though. No, but
I have a Snapchat account.
Guys, and just so I don't sound extremely lame either, I went to BlizzCon, I would say 2 years back. And BlizzCon this year so happened to fall on a very special 30th birthday, which means I cannot make it. Not because I don't want to make it. I just simply cannot. And I'm excited for you guys because I had a killer frickin' time. I got to see Linkin Park perform at BlizzCon when I went. So
I think the Muse is playing this year.
Muse or not?
The Muse.
What? The Muse.
No,
I do like
right.
Muse.
Yeah,
I do like Muse.
Yeah,
yes, music is great.
Yeah, I don't know much about music. But yeah, that's cool. I think they had Tenacious D 1 year, and that seemed cool. Metallica played 1 year. They get big bands, but I don't know if I'm going to stick around for that.
It's a fun function, and it's huge and flashy, and you're surrounded by like-minded individuals. You guys are going to love it. Is this our first BlizzCon ever?
For me, yeah. Never been.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
For Bobby, it's going to be JizzCon. He is so excited.
Again, Snapchat. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
So, once again, if you've been a long-time listener or brand new to the podcast, we live stream our episodes right onto Discord, and people are listening right now. We have ones and ones of people that are here hanging out with us. And there are links going up as we speak. Leap Milf just put a self-portrait up there,
just
in case you're wondering what she looks like. And we have links to everything we've been talking about, so it's great. You should.
I can hit him in the back of the head if you want me to.
It's tough when some people may not get the jokes, but yeah, if you show up for the live show or if you come back later, dlgaming.net, click on the Discord app and then the live podcast text channel, you can see everything.
Yeah, you can scroll down and just like listen and have all the links.
Yeah, because that happens to me. When I listen to other podcasts, I'm like, wait, fuck, what game were they talking about? Like, it sounded good, but you never remember. We link all that in the chat.
Yeah.
All right. One other piece of news I wanted to bring up. No, more Blizzard news. Sorry about that. But finally, 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 they have upgraded the social features user profiles on Battle.net. Now, it's all beta form right now. Now, the big thing with this is you can finally appear offline. This is something that people have been asking for like 10 years. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this is like a 10-year request that Blizzard has said, we've been working on it.
It's like incognito mode.
You've not playing anything on Discord? Like, it shows you as not playing?
Oh, no, it still shows you on Discord.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is like incognito mode for gaming, and trust me, it is a necessity. I almost go incognito every time I play games because of the notifications and the random pop-ups that I get. I call them random pop-ups, but they're just messages. I am very tunnel vision, and I don't want to appear rude when I get a message and don't have the attention span to reply. So I would imagine it's very important for me on Steam, on Battle.net, for now Bobby can join that that list of, hey, I'm not actually here.
But yeah. He is.
The invisible cloak list.
Yeah, I have yet to really see how it works. Like, if I go into Heroes of the Storm, then can people in Heroes of the Storm still see me online, or is it only outside? I don't know those things yet. They did say that there is a little discrepancy with World of Warcraft. Like, your guild members can still see that you're online. But still, this is a step in the right direction.
Like, which I think they should. I don't think you should be able to hide your appearance in the actual game itself, but in a chat function outside of the game, of course. Absolutely.
Now, they have other things to this as well. Like, you can get user icons and you can create group chats. They mimicked a lot of the features of Discord, actually. Like, they're trying to make these chat rooms and these clubs that are these groups that you can make with other people. And their voice chat is pretty good, but I don't see that really taking off. And it seems kind of weird to me that you can have a profile icon, but it has to be, you have to select it from their list of profile icons. Probably because they don't want to, like, have to monitor that.
So just to recap, in a game where you need, it's multiplayer only, and you need a team of five people, you can now hide from other people.
Yep.
Yep. Just in case you were wondering.
All right. Bethesda getting pushback from anti-Nazi propaganda. All right. This was interesting.
So Bethesda's been, they've been tweeting out something like, what is it? Make America Nazi free again. And this was their campaign before the Charlottesville thing and before Nazis were on the march again in the United States or whatever it is, the neo-Nazis. And so people are, there's a lot of pushback. Not a lot, but like more than you would expect.
Well, this is what I'm wondering. Like,
but I don't
how
think
many,
it's the internet, dude. I think, go ahead.
How many people, like, I don't know, I haven't looked into this, but how many people really like posted, because they people posted saying they had a problem with Bethesda making these remarks and these advertising schemes. I don't know. That just seems super outlandish, but like how many people have actually done that? Was it like three guys?
Well, there's picture. You say that there's actually three pictures of three posts, but I think they're getting, I think people that have Nazi sympathizers or even close to that are starting to defend that stance more and they're being more vocal.
Yeah, things are getting weird.
Yeah,
there's like a vagueness to the Nazism now.
I heard a very awesome quote. It said, not all Trump supporters are racist, but every racist is a Trump supporter. So I feel like the racists feel like they can get away with more these days.
What a time.
Yeah, making strides. So they got some flack, whatever. I don't know how much flack, but they just doubled down. They're like, listen, anti-Nazi is what we've always done, and that's the basis of our whole game, and we're just going to keep going, and we stand behind our anti-Nazism. And it's crazy that they have to say that. It's crazy. It's a crazy time.
Yeah.
Well, it's because with the internet, anybody can voice their opinion.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm tripping out about. I mean, yeah, that's nuts. But what's weird to me also is that a couple people post some shit on like a social media platform and that's news. Like, when in history was that ever news? Like, some fucking bullshit you say to say. Because before we had social media, we just talked amongst our friends and we said stupid shit to each other.
Well, if it's enough time, if it's enough people saying the same thing, that's when it becomes news, I believe. And that's why I brought it up.
I don't know. I can't wait to play this game, though. Like, aside from whatever bullshit this is, like, I am super excited for this.
But you weren't about that DLC because you were like, this is more of the same.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I will be somewhat disappointed. But I do want to see a continuation of that story. But it's pushed back, apparently, to October 28th. Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to be right before BlizzCon. That's going to be a tough time. I've got my girlfriend's birthday at the end of the month and then BlizzCon. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to play that until like a week or two after.
We're adults. We're busy. Thus is the life.
Yeah, it sucks.
As for my news piece, it's also related to a lot of negativity. I'm not sure if we ever talked about the bad rep that PUBG is getting all over Steam. Of course, with PUBG, you know, they've got a lot of good things going on for themselves. They're a huge amount of concurrent players. They just announced Squad FPP. And then also on top of that, they are falling. They are heavily disappointing. Sorry, this is the word. These are the words that I'm looking for. The Chinese community. Because what they're doing is that the servers are lacking in terms of just having good latency servers. And then on top of that, also now promoting VPN ads in a game that they're already paying for. So it's pretty horrible. And I think...
And this is only happening in China, right?
This is only... Yeah. So it's only the Chinese that are suffering from these, and they're the ones that are sending negative review after negative review. In fact, negative reviews have gone up 1,500% from the Chinese communities because it's just not a good game for Chinese players. And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because even the Chinese viewers have to come over to American servers, which overall might affect our latency as well. But it seems like they have yet to come up with how they're going to resolve what's going on for Chinese players with PUBG right now.
Gee, I'm really glad that you brought this. This was supposed to be my news story, but I couldn't find it again because I read it. And it's a crazy thing. You know, when... Let's say Google and Facebook had to both do things they didn't want to do in order to get into China. But China's such a giant market. Sometimes you have to be like, okay, do what you want with our thing, but at least our thing is in there, you know? Like, we got it into China. Okay, we got into China, but we gave up a bunch of things. And that's what PUBG had to do. They had to give away their in-game advertising. You know, that stuff that spray painted it on the walls now. So basically, now the VPNs in China are advertising inside and they're not getting good latency outside without using those things. So it's a fucked up thing, but it's China. You know, not saying that like China can go fuck itself or anything, but I'm just saying that like they have different rules over there. Business operates different over there. That's just how it is over there. So... Like, it's either PUBG with this in China or PUBG would not be in China. So the Chinese have to either figure that out or play on American servers where the skilled people are.
Oh, come on. I mean, skill with latency.
I'm just joking.
But I mean, know there's the ongoing thing where, you know, it's easier to play on China servers. But at the same time,
crazy.
I think it's really, like, I'm going to back up the Chinese on this as, like... As just a player itself, I think it's unrightfully so unfair to the gamer, the one who puts money and time into supporting the game that you develop. And it's just one of those things where it's just because they're in China, they're suffering for it. But then again, they are in China. I don't know what to say other than I feel for the Chinese player.
No, for sure. They're the victim here. 100%. But they can't not be the victim. They don't have an option other than just doing what... It's like, remember like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we were talking about their fake Overwatch that they play over there with the fake characters that are just...
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, it's a different way of life over there.
I had a friend who went to China. His wife is Chinese, so they went over there and visited for a while, and we play HOTS together. So he started playing HOTS while he was in China, and he started telling me about all the differences in the game, differences in the character models, even Stitches, who, you know, we all know is, you know, the Terror of Darkshire. He's that big abomination from Warcraft. He's got his guts hanging out. In China, they cover that up with a big patch. And there are also some weird ones, like Rainer has an eye patch in the China version of Heroes of the Storm.
And
just
why?
Like weird shit like that, yeah.
But
like,
maybe because in StarCraft he did, but who knows?
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it's weird to me that things are just so different over there. Yeah, but all right, moving on from that. I think that's all the news we got, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's talk a little hardware here. So I'm excited. I've got a new keyboard on the way. I looked and looked and looked and finally settled on one from a company called WASD, and they let you completely customize your keyboard, which was really nice.
That's a great name, by the way.
Yeah, WASD, great name for a keyboard. But you can pick out which one you want, you know, the full 110 key layout with the number pad, or is that 104 keys, I think. But I went with the 87 key one, and I think that's going to be the biggest improvement. because I need that extra space on my desk. Like my mouse and my keyboard feel too far apart, but I was able to get it with the switches that I wanted, the silencers, the O-rings they put on to make them even quieter. I was not able to get the types of keycaps that I wanted. They make these things called
PD. What's a keycap?
It's a type of keys, the actual material itself. That the keys are made out of.
And why not?
They only offered them with ABS caps, which is your standard keyboard cap. The problem with that, if you look at my keyboard over there, it looks shiny because I've used it so much. Mm-hmm. Like, especially yeah. the WASD and the QWER, very, very shiny just from getting used. And that's
Matt
what happens with ABS.
Matt is my favorite thing. Matt makeup, Matt keyboards.
Matt, well, yeah, but even at that, like, after you use it for a while, that's going to happen. They'll wear down quicker. But if you get PBT, then it's a little more resistant to that. And it's a heavier type key, so it's got more of a softer thud, like they're a little quieter.
What'd you pay for this, Bobby?
Almost $200.
Holy hell. Yeah.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah, with all the modifications.
Now, please tell me that there's no letters on the keyboard.
No, there aren't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and it's the reason why I ended up going with this. I almost went with a Philco keyboard, which is one of these ones I think out in like Hong Kong. I'm probably getting that wrong. Somewhere out there, like by Ducky Keyboards. But the reason that I went with the WASD is because
like that?
It's just such a plain and simple looking keyboard. It's just all black. Even the lights, like the little scroll or number lock lights and the caps lock lights, like are very... they're just there. They aren't like, there's no labels
you know
or
what?
Anything like
That's
that.
That's the perfect keyboard for your studio. Earlier today, I was just complimenting Bobby on how simple his studio is set up. Like, I opened the closet and there's just like six or seven black, all black jackets, neatly hanging, no extra hangers, nothing on the floor of his closet. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, Bobby. I could not live like this. But so basically, your keyboard would just blend into everything else yeah. in your home, which is just black and white.
That's the idea.
Bobby has non-racist Nazi efficiency in here. Like, everything is regimented, just like it's clean. Everything is makes sense, organized, down to a T.
Yep. I keep it simple.
He probably vacuums out this couch.
I don't think
post session.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the
well,
crevices.
With all your toenail clippings and toe jam you
who knows
in
what's
this
in
thing.
There.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, this keyboard, I think it's going to take them 2 to 5 days to make, and then they're going to ship it after that. And I don't think it ships from very far. So hopefully by the next podcast, I should have it. And I'm excited to try it out. I have not had a new keyboard in a very long time. Since 2007 or 8, I've been using DOS keyboards strictly. And back in the day, that was the only thing you get with like blank keys. But I'm excited to try out something new. After using that, the Bloody keyboard, like that was the first time I used another keyboard. I was like, man, I really got to switch. So that's hopefully going to happen. We got some weird stuff going on in chat.
The weirdest titties I have ever seen in my whole life on our Discord.
I don't think that's
Don't allow yourself to get distracted by the Discord chat right now.
As soon as Fastidious joins, I can see that we're looking at each other's eyes more than we're looking at the screen. and then that was just, it was just too much. Holy hell.
It's a little distracting.
It's very distracting. It's tits on pecs is what it is.
All right. So new keyboard hopefully coming in a week here. Also, I want to talk about these new Intel processors that came out. Coffee Lake, October 5th, I think they came out. But they're not, I don't think you can buy them yet. And probably by the time this episode airs, I don't think you'll be able to get them. But the benchmarks are out and they're looking really good. The only thing that people are complaining about is they don't work on the Z270 motherboard. So a lot of people are upset that they got to buy a whole new motherboard just to get this processor.
But, and how much are those new motherboards, the Z370s?
I don't know yet. I assume they're going to be, you
200,
know, yeah, or? Around the usual yeah. price, depending on what features you get with them.
Well,
the
I mean, these
CPUs are
like boundary
400.
Pushers, to say the least. So what's
if
an extra $200? Yeah, you have to pay for it. You have to pay for it.
You can't put spinners on a fucking Vespa.
Yeah, you can. We live in San Diego. I see that shit all
it's
the time.
Like if I lost my charger to my cell phone, I'll be paying for it. I'll tell you that. So it's cutting edge technology.
Well, I think that people just usually with Intel, you can
you can't find them and it sucks.
What USB-C?
Yeah.
For your phone? Yeah. They're not very common for chargers yet.
And they're $30 right now, $25 to $30.
Yeah, well, the thing about USB-C, too, is that they have different yeah, watts for those. So you can, like, I have an 87 watt that charges my laptop. You can use that with cell phone, but I think it only charges like up to like 27 or something, depending on what kind of phone you have.
I have another hardware that I want to interject that's not on here. I ordered the Pixel 2. I love my Pixel 1, and I'll tell you exactly why I ordered it. Because fucking Sam ordered the Pixel 2 based on my review. And, you know, she
2 or 2 XL?
She ordered the 2.
Okay.
And then I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have this bitch have a better phone than me.
So, whoa, sensitivity.
Yeah. So I had to play my man card, pulled out my credit card, and I got a Pixel 2 XL just because, like, I got a one-upper. And also, actually, to be honest, the selling point was that you get a Google Home Mini. I have an Amazon Echo, and I have an Amazon Echo Dot. And the Dot, honestly, fucking sucks. The music out of it sucks. It doesn't seem to have to process as quickly as the Echo. So I want to play. I want to kind of have a comparison.
Well, the Mini is like a Dot, though, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. I mean, in size, but if the music's better, then I'm definitely gonna because Sam's gonna get one too, right? So we're gonna have two. So then we compare those two Minis against our Echo. And if those Minis are better than the Echo, then just get rid of the Echo and get a real,
Google Home.
Google Home. But there's a new one that they just came out with that like is like almost like a Bose speaker.
Oh, anyway, yeah. I've seen that one. Yeah, so, they had a bunch of announcements. Those earbuds look cool, the Pixel Buds.
So I'm excited that I get to, for free, try out, for something I was probably going to do anyway, try out Home versus Alexa, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay, cool.
What I don't know is if Sam's phone, my phone, and the Google Mini are all laying next to each other, which happens all the time right now, and I say, okay, Google, and sorry if I activated your devices. Hey, Alexa, or what is it? Hey, Siri, Alexa. Yeah, fuck all you guys. Got you all. Anyway, if I have them all near each other and then I say something, if it activates all three, like, I guess I just deal with them all being activated?
I don't know. I think you can connect them to each other, and then whichever one you're closest to will respond. Because they talked about putting them in different rooms.
But here's the problem. You put your Mini Home on your desk. Where do you lay down your phone? Usually on your desk. So, you know, they're both there. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a lot of questions when it comes to all the smart home stuff they're really trying to push on us. I got a Nest thermostat that is missing right now. It's supposed to arrive today, but it seems to be missing. But I was going to set that up, and that's like my first little attempt at doing this whole smart home shit. And because I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I got to know how this stuff works.
I don't know
it's like
how you don't have a Roomba
thing.
Dude,
a
this
Roomba
is the perfect place for a Roomba.
Yeah,
you know, it would just clean while you're at work.
I really should get one. My girlfriend's mom actually said she'd give me her old one. So
because all you need is the most basic one, period.
Yeah I don't have a whole lot of shit here. All right,
robots, they're coming.
Yep, we gotta take over.
Hard drive.
Yeah, hard. I just want to talk a little bit about my hard drive. So I've been really trying to go at this problem I've been having where Heroes of the Storm has been crashing on me. Like, it happened almost once a day for a couple days in a row. So I'm like, I really got to address this problem and figure out what's going on. What I think might have fixed it is changing my monitor. It was overclocked to 165 hertz, and now it's only at 144, which I think is the max setting on it. So I'm just going to leave that like it is and see how this goes from this point on. We'll see if that works. But I did a bunch of other diagnostics, like testing all the hardware in my computer. And I noticed when I looked at my hard drive, I just thought this was interesting. I just want to throw this out there. My hard drive, my main hard drive, has only been restarted 50 times. And it's got 12,500 hours on it.
What's that mean? That means that you've only turned your
computer on and off like 50 times.
Interesting.
And it's been, and the uptime of it is 12,500 hours, which I think equates to a
year and a half.
Isn't
it better for a computer to stay on anyways, I thought?
I mean,
it's simple
it
language.
Depends. No, it's good to restart it every now and then. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many times people give me laptops, like to check in over the summer, and like they haven't turned it off, or like they give it to me for repair.
Well, those are laptops. We're talking about towers, though.
Towers once a week, I think. It's good. Why not just restart it?
Yeah, sometimes you need to do it for updates and shit, but yeah. But I just thought that was really weird. Anyway, let's get to some listener feedback.
All right.
All right.
If we're a little distracted, we're actually a lot distracted. There is a meme war.
The memes are strong.
Going, like, we'd be horrible Twitch casters right now if we were overtaken by our chat room. So you have to... stick
I'm
to the
delete all this
feedback.
Shit. We're gonna get sued if I don't delete all this shit when we get home. When I get home.
All right, moving on, Bobby.
All right, good times. This one coming from Heisenball says thoughts on this, and he's linked an article on PC Gamer about Warframe coming up with a big update here. Open worlds, Plains of Eidolon confirmed for next week.
Where are you reading this from?
They're basically saying Warframe is going to replace Destiny 2, or they call it the solution to Destiny 2. So Warframe is becoming bigger and better.
No, Warframe's a pretty popular game. It's not like, I don't know if they have the numbers, but they've got a lot of really loyal fans. So much, in fact, they have their own convention every year now.
Yeah, they have a dedicated crowd, super dedicated crowd. I was going to put this as my news story, but nobody had a problem with this game. I liked it. Chad liked it. Bobby, did you play it?
I played very little of it.
I have not played it at all.
It's a pretty great game. The graphics are stellar. The developers are passionate. And now they're going open world. I guess they could trip up here. But I don't think they will because they have a solid track record.
Yeah. The interesting part about this article when I read it was, what do they say here? It'll bring much anticipated open world open zone, a non-procedurally generated, handcrafted environment. So that's like a selling point, that this is not procedurally generated.
But everything else is,
environment.
I think.
Yeah. But I remember procedurally generated was like the hot new thing, like 2014, 2015, like everything had to be, ooh, procedurally generated. No two trees are alike. And then, you know, after a while, that kind of lost its flair because people were just like, I don't even look at that shit anyway. Like, nobody cares.
But I think I think procedural generation is the future, though. Like,
well, you have to just to make that amount of content or of like landscape. Yeah, you have to do it at some point.
Bobby, can we go back to hardware? Because we just went right over my G502 that I ordered today.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, sons of bitches. Okay,
that's your new mouse.
So. 2 weeks ago, I said that my G900 was double clicking. I will let you know how the Logitech customer support was going. It's going fucking dog shit. I put in a ticket. They sent me not a confirmation on my ticket, but a how did we do? And I was like, you did shitty. I don't have a confirmation on my ticket.
Was
so,
this via email only or were you
on
phone support?
Yeah, this is all
support?
Email. So okay. I went on to the website. I see that my complaint is filed, but no action has been taken. So I don't know what to do. Now I'm losing at all these games, and I'm blaming my mouse, and I need to know whether or not it's my mouse or not. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm done with this. I got a few hours till the podcast. I want a new mouse. First time ever I use Amazon Prime Now. Prime Now means that you can get something delivered within 2 hours. I went with the 502 because it was only $47 on sale, plus $10 off for using Prime Now for the first time. And then check this out. So it's within 2 hours. You can schedule it between, like, I ordered at like 10:30. I could schedule it between 12 and 2 with no additional fee. Or I could get it within an hour for $7.99. I'm like, they're already giving me $10. Let me try this out.
Obviously, Prime Now is not available everywhere. Is it just because
Because I'm awesome.
Is it just because of the we're
hashtag
in a larger
blessed.
City?
What?
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag spoiled. like
29 minutes.
Spoiled.
29 minutes. I had a brand new mouse in my house.
29 minutes.
It was amazing.
That would arrive faster than my damn Chinese food.
Yes.
That is ridiculous.
It was amazing. And it was a Chinese that brought it. So I don't know if that... Should I have mentioned that? Okay, I shouldn't have. Anyway, so he brings it over. It's a wired mouse. I didn't mind going with the wired because I never disconnected my G900. The G900 was too much for me. And on top of that, this has a bunch more mouses on the thumb area than the G900 did that I'll actually use. I actually use those a lot. So this has a few more buttons. I actually enjoy this mouse more than the G900, which is more than twice the price. Plus, it comes with weights.
Bigger sound can, always better.
This is true. Actually, the other one's smaller. But yeah, definitely. Like, my biggest qualm with the other one was that it was too light. I don't remember if you guys remember my review of the last one, but it was just like they were talking about shaving plastic off to save every single micro ounce or whatever it was. And this one actually comes with weights where you could put weights in the bottom and like get it right where you want it. It feels perfect. I'm super happy with it. Honestly, I bought it to be my backup mouse when my other G900, if it ever shows up, comes back. But now I think it's going to be vice versa. I love the feel of this mouse. G502.
I'm glad that you like it because from what I understand, it simply being a simpler or simplified version of what you already possess. My mouse is super simple and I have zero complaints about my mouse, honestly. So it excites me to know that you're enjoying something that isn't like over the top or over elaborated in any sense.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of hardware has too much flair, too flashy.
Yep.
Where on the other hand, Bobby, I think I would appreciate a keyboard where my keys were labeled still, though. I would not be one of those.
I got to be again.
Hey, you'd be surprised. You spend enough time with a blank keyboard, you'll learn how to type without it. All right. Let's see. This is kind of a listener question to the audience, I suppose, coming from C. Niper. Did anyone play or remember that Flash game Battle Dawn? It was a cooperative team RTS where you had a couple months to capture world objectives. These five random relics would be placed all over the map. It was kind of poo because people used to use the pay-to-win mechanic, but I'm wondering if anyone has played anything else like it without a dumb token-like feature. I have not played this game. I have not even heard of this game. I looked it up and did not ring a bell. Have you ever heard of Battle Dawn?
I recognize the name, but the fact that it's a pay-to-win mechanic is probably why I steered clear from it. I do not like play-to-win games, and therefore it's probably not my up my alley at all. Amelia, what do you think?
Well, when I was looking at this game, it looked very old, and it looks like it might have been out during a time where pay to win wasn't even that big of a thing, or like the whole free to play pay to win thing hadn't become like the huge thing that it is today. But I don't think I've ever played a game like this where it takes a long time to take objectives, and it's kind of like a progressive thing you check in on every now and then and come back to. I've never done that. And especially like Flash-based games. I played a couple of Flash-based games like 10 years ago, but I never really spent that much time with them. Yeah, but maybe someone else is out there that has. All right.
Did we do Shadow Master's questions?
Do what?
Did we do Shadow Master's question?
No. Okay. Doing that right now. It's waiting for you. All right. Shadow Master asks, what was your first PC game that made you a PC gamer?
I love telling the story because it's been a while since I told this. So I was a Magic the Gathering player. And the way that I found how to... Okay, so me and my friends all got into it. And then they fell off. And I was the nerdiest of the nerdies of my friends. So I said, I need to find people to play this with. This is pre-internet, folks. Pre-internet. I mean, the internet probably existed, but I definitely wasn't on it. So I looked in the newspaper for a place to play Magic the Gathering. And lo and behold, there was a place called A Place to Play. That's what it was called. And I looked it up and it said Magic the Gathering, Warhammer 40K. And I was like, oh, this is the place for me. So this is my haircut at the time. I had an all-shaved head except for my bangs, which were super long. like...
Wait, what?
Probably 10 inches long.
You didn't... I've heard the story before, but you disincluded that portion of the story. Well, you were all like bald except for your bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a...
Your scalp had a Hitler stash? Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, so it's like you leave the front long and then you like comb it back.
Over, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so it looks like you have a full head of hair. It's actually just your bangs.
Yeah, that, like when I was in middle school, that was a pretty popular
fashion. I was anticipating like squiggly eyebrows too. Yeah.
So I had that, and I showed up there with my Turbo Eclipse, and like with tinted windows and like chrome rims that I way overpaid for, and I had my Adidas. I looked like a Russian gangster, basically, like track pants. Walked in there, and you know, it's all the nerdy guys, right? Fat, overweight, t-shirt, showing their navel kind of thing.
Rawr.
And I come in here like I'm coming out of the club, but I want to play Magic the Gathering. I show up, and
you had Coke bottle glasses though, right? I think I remember that detail.
Not at the time. Right around then is probably when I got my surgery, actually, and became super cool and sexy, in case you were wondering. So I get there and I just don't fit. That's what I've been trying to, like, the point I've been trying to get. Nobody there looks like me. Nobody. I'm like a greaser, basically. I show up and I present my deck, and they were super friendly, and they're like, no, dude, let me help you.
Where's the computer in all of this?
So the more I played over the years, more and more the tables disappeared for more and more PCs. Like the PCs kept growing because
it became a LAN center.
It became a LAN center. And one day I was like, okay, let's go see what they had. So there was three games being played. It was Ultima Online, which was fading, EverQuest, and Tribes. And between Tribes and EverQuest, I was sold. That was the end of it. Holy hell. All right. Discord's lives in it.
It's going off the rails.
It's going off the rails. I can't even look at it. Like, we're doing a podcast, guys. God damn it. Can you ban them for now?
As for me, when it comes to the first PC game that made me a PC gamer had to have been Warcraft 2. It was the one game where it was like, wow, nothing else on the market is anything relatively similar to this.
Except for Warcraft 1.
But I didn't play
Warcraft 1. Oh, in your face. 1. Oh!
Did you play Warcraft 1?
No.
Thought so.
I saw how much it was. It was $80.
But with Warcraft 2 and Age of Empires, RTSs are what, and then eventually, of course, Starcraft, are what brought me into the PC gaming community. I played plenty of Baldur's Gate also, like plenty of single-player RPGs or games, shooters like Duke Nukem. All around that era are my first, I would say that was my first wave of PC games that made me realize console can't compete. I need more of this in my life, and I need to mute Discord from
the
game
somehow.
Let's minimize we can't even finish.
We can't even fucking talk. Jesus Christ.
Anyways, guys, I would say that was like the first wave of PC games that I started with.
I wasn't done with my story, Chi. So
wait, really? This is still going?
Oh, my God, yeah. Dude. There's another part of this
saga.
People
were playing EverQuest
really?
And Tribes. And then I called Gateway Computers, if you guys remember them.
Yes,
because that's
all I
knew about computers. Like, Gateway definitely Compaq. Sells computers. Yeah. So I called them, and I was like, hey, I need a PC. I need a gaming PC. They didn't sell gaming PCs at the time. But the dude wasn't going to lose the sale. So he's like, oh, yeah, I could totally... Yeah, we'll get you a bunch of RAM and blah, blah, blah. But they didn't even have, like, Voodoo cards at the time. So I paid $2,400 for their basically top-of-the-line, and I still couldn't play the games that I wanted. And I had to switch it out, my graphics card.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Like, we would always have two computers in my home, and one could play the... all the newer games, and the other one, it was like a 50-50 gamble. And that's when I fell in love with Can You Run It?
Oh.
If you just Google Can You Run It, and it's, I forgot that.
Is it still up,
name.
Bobby?
Yeah, it's still up and running. And oh my goodness, I use it for any game that comes out just to see how exceedingly well or not so well that I can run something. So it's systemrequirementslab.com. And I've been using this since probably when the site first was up and running. If you ever need to see if your computer is sufficient enough to use something, just Google, can you run it? The best website
that's
I know.
That's pretty great. And mm-hmm. it probably saves your computer, so every time you don't have to put in all the info.
It doesn't run on your computer every single time.
Oh, it scans it.
And there's a pull down list of all the games. There's like top games tested right now: PUBG, Fortnite, GTA 5, even Cuphead's on there. What the heck? But yeah, that's my favorite website to use to see.
Too bad it's called. It's
if
not
you
called,
meet the minimum,
can you play it? And it's a big no.
Oh man,
you. I'm sorry. It's usually can kick my ass in games. That's why I'm
right until a controller
I'm
is
like,
involved.
There's one game I'm better at.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to pick one game, it would have to be Jedi Knight. Now, that was not the first PC game that I had ever played. I'd played a lot of PC games before that, but I also played a lot of console. And I played more console than I did PC games up until Jedi Knight or Dark Forces 2.
Most people did.
Yeah. Well, when I got to that, that's a significant game for me for a lot of reasons. One of them being that was my official transition over into PC gaming, but also that was the first time I made myself use a mouse to aim. Before that, I had always used the keyboard to aim, like in Wolfenstein 3D or even the Duke Nukem games, you could use your, you could get away with using just the keyboard for aiming. But I remember I would play a lot of multiplayer in Jedi Knight and I kept losing to certain people. And I'm just like, if I'm going to be better, I have to just overcome this learning. There's difficulty in learning the mouse and using that for aiming.
I also remember, Bobby, that you were saying that you modded this game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made levels and skins for it, maps. Yeah, all sorts. So, I mean, I did all sorts of shit with this game.
This was your gateway to the PC gaming drug, right?
It was a lot of firsts for me. So that's why it's such, like, it's still to this day my favorite game of all time, and I play through it every couple of years.
It's funny because nobody else ever mentions that as their favorite game ever.
Really? It's a popular game. There's an organization that still like is keeping the dream alive with that game. Like, yeah. And still,
are you the president?
It. No, it's a bunch of weirdos.
I find that shocking.
Now that I think back on it and I'm looking at the games and the years they were released, the ones that really got me into PC gaming, this was all around 95 through 98. I was only 6 or 7 years old at this time. And I was already introduced into the PC gaming world. So if anyone gives me any backlash for being a female gamer, I'm like, I knew how to play video games before I knew how to suck a dick. So suck
hey.
It.
But now you suck dicks at video games. Boom! I had to do it. All right,
moving on.
All right, last question coming from Emu Killer says, some people believe that the users are actually better game developers than the developers. What do you think of that when it comes to the new Skyrim co-op mode, Zombie Apocalypse GTA 5 mod, and PUBG?
I think it's a lot easier to critique and then modify something that exists than to create something from... You have no idea what goes into making a Skyrim. You have no idea. Thousands and thousands of hours of people just speaking into microphones. Thousands and thousands of hours programming, all this stuff. It's easier to take that stuff and fine tune it than it is to, like, it was a lot easier to make the car than it was to make the first, carriage. Just because it was like you had to come up with the wheel and then the axle and then all this other stuff. And that all that stuff was already there. That was probably a bad example. But you see what I'm trying to say. It's better. It's easier to improve upon something than create it from scratch. So
the way that I look at this question, I see it as there is so much talent out there. And I know many a video game developers that have played games that exist. And what is a good game to the general public, they would deem as crap and they would call it, hey, I can make this game better. And maybe they do make a mod or something that just improves the overall game. And PUBG and a lot of different mods, you know, are a clear example of that. But that's the thing. All inclusive, the whole what it entails to make a game, some people just do not have the resources to do that, even though they have the talent to produce it. It takes more than just pure talent and ambition alone to create an amazing game. You need money, you need investors, you need licensing. There's so much involved in the creation of something that even though you have the potential to make a game bigger and better, you just sometimes simply it cannot be done.
And now that it's exactly what you just said, my friend is in business. And he invented something, and he's selling it now. And is his original idea what he's selling now? No. But you have to caveat, and there's these things that you just have to, you have to like, okay, I can't do this, so well, okay, I guess we'll make that out of this part instead of this part. And then eventually you get this thing where at least it's out. It might be a masterpiece, but you had to take some... It's not the original idea because there's no way it would have come out if you wouldn't have taken away from it. And that's what happens with video games. I'm sure the original idea isn't what we're playing, because if it were, it'd be awesome. But it wouldn't have made it to market had you not done those edits or caveats or whatever it is.
Meeting deadlines. And
yeah, meeting deadline. That's the biggest one, I think.
Yeah, hello Andromeda.
Yeah. Bobby?
I can't really speak to any of those games in particular, but I think it's true what you said. It's a lot easier to mod games than it is actually to start from scratch and create one. But a lot of good things do come from mods. You look at a lot of game developing companies, even Valve got their start modding games. And you know, eventually build something great out of that. But we do live in a different time now where we're used to seeing behind the scenes. We're used to seeing the development process. We're in this early access phase. Someone who I used to play HOTS with, we were on comms one time playing a game, and he's like, he'd started playing PUBG, and it was kind of his first time like playing anything on Steam. And he's like, hey, maybe you can answer this for me. Why are there so many early access games on Steam? And I'm like, well, shit, that's a long answer. But, you know, basically, it's, games are hard to make. You know, things just get stuck in early access. But that's the world we live in now, where we're, as the player, we're used to being able to see behind the screen. I remember listening to an interview with the guy who played Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He does documentaries now. He's got a great one on Napster, and he's got a great one on the dark web. But he was talking about, with movies, people are used to seeing behind the scenes now. So like people have heard, oh, you're working on a script for a new Bill and Ted movie. Well, when's that coming out? It's like, I don't know if it happens, maybe like 10 years. Like it's been like the script's been floating around for like 10 years. And people are like, why is it taking so long? And he's like, well, it's always taken this long. Now you just see the process.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where we're at with video games. Like we see the process. So we think it takes longer for games to come out, or they spend all this time in development and we wonder why they aren't out. But it's like, that's, you know, this shit's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm a little more lenient when it comes to these things. I'm not too harsh on games. It's amazing they can even get a game to work, let alone be good sometimes.
Yeah.
And this shit's not easy. All right. Well, oh God.
Oh my gosh.
Do not alt-tab back to Discord.
And things
God, I got a lot of deleting to do when I get
You might want to just delete the channel.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it. What's everyone going to be playing next week?
For this up and coming week, I am going to dive deeper into Divinity, Cuphead, and hopefully get jump started on a horror title, being Halloween is right around the corner. Are you guys into Halloween, by the way? Or do you have plans for
Bobby.
Dressing up?
Oh, yeah, I love Halloween.
Yeah, but so you had this like tradition of playing a lot of games for like 2 years, and but last year you like left it dry. I think because you were really getting
it took a lot. Yeah, it takes a lot of time to play through all those games, and it's tough. So I'm going to try to play some scary games, and I'm going to watch a lot of scary movies. Yeah, I'm going to get into the Halloween spirit.
All right.
And this is a shot in the dark here. Captain Gummy linked a game where you play like that you're in hell, and the walls are undulating, and it has a lot to do with like torch mechanics, and the light keeps the monsters away, and you have to light another torch and throw another. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I was like, there's no way I'm
mouse and keyboard or a controller?
Yeah, it's on Steam, so mouse and keyboard. I don't think it's out yet, but this fucking... There's no way I'm playing it. So I want you guys to take a look at it.
I am down to play some scary games.
I don't know the name of it, though. I wish I did. Well, if we had our Discord up, you sons of bitches, maybe somebody could answer.
There's usually a sale around Halloween, too, on a bunch of scary games. So look out for that on Steam.
But this is next level shit. This is like...
Well, I'm interested in it. Link it to me when you find it.
What is the one that it's a first person and you're fighting your insanity... but it's like it starts to get shaky and you have to hide everywhere. Pigs was the sequel.
Amnesia, Dark Descent.
Amnesia is very much like Amnesia, but all dark and not a castle. Like you're in hell and all the walls are made of meat. God damn, that looks scary. Hmm. Anyway, I won't be playing it, but hopefully I can convince one of these guys to play it. It looks so scary.
I will definitely be playing some horror games.
Let me see if I can find
it. I love streaming horror games, and I've been begging to get some co-op horror games or just co-op anything in general. And horror games are like I think they're the best co-op games, even if it's a single player horror game, like just sitting there and watching another person freak out.
I feel like when you co-op a horror game, it's not that much horror.
Even when you stream,
I would never sit by myself and watch a horror movie. That's torture. Yeah. I would co-op a horror movie, but I would not sit alone and watch a horror movie. That's torture.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it yet, but I probably will.
Go see it before it gets out of theaters. You need to.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I will. It's that good?
Yeah.
I've never seen the original It, so.
It's good. I liked it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I might play the Dread Out sequel, and I don't know, maybe Albino Lullaby, or there's a bunch of scary games that I've got.
I would love to play Amnesia, because I think outside of just like clicking around, I haven't played it.
20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes.
That was a classic.
I'm so scared. Battle Chasers, I'll be playing next week. Besides that, I'm not quite sure. I won't be playing Cuphead because I beat that shit. You can, if you go to digital_logic, you can watch my replay of me beating the guy.
I feel like that game's going to disappear really quick. Like, everyone was excited about it, then we're never going to hear about it again.
Well, it will from my Steam library, because I beat it, Bobby.
Yeah, people are
that's what I'm saying. Like, people are going to beat it, and they're going to move on, and like, yeah, that was a good time. Like, I think, like, after next week, we're never going to hear a Cuphead again.
Cool. So, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, huge Cuphead tits. Huge cups.